episode of the Stew Show. We're still in the quarantine section of the times and ages right now, which is starting to kind of bum me out. But we have a very unique guest today. His name's Joel. He is a very good skateboarder and a very good disker. Lives here in Santa Rosa. Let's see if I can get him on the phone. Hopefully this works out.
What's up?
What's up? What you doing, brother? Is this Joel?
What's up, bro?
I said, is this Joel?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, man? You're on the Stew Show.
On the Stew Show?
Heck yeah, brother. How's
a local disker buddy with you?
A local disker, local skateboarder.
You know it, brother.
So, I just wanted to start out kind of like a interview style. So, when did you start to skateboard?
Oh, shoot. I would say mid-80s, like 85, 86 is when I really kind of start getting into it.
You never skateboarded in the 70s?
My brother kind of ruined it for me when he had his little jelly board and we were camping one time.
Yeah.
And he went down a hill on his belly and hit a rock and went flying and split his face open.
Yo!
And my dad wasn't too happy about that. So he put that skateboard in the fire.
So when you did start skating in 85, right?
Yeah.
Where did you use to skateboard?
Shoot, all we had is our cul-de-sac, and we had we'd start building quarter pipes and lawn tramps. We had lawn tramps from our BMX bikes because we used to be big into BMX.
You had some ramps. Did you have a half pipe?
No, we didn't have a half pipe. No one really had one back then.
Okay. You know what I call a ditch? Like, did you ever go to ditches?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Then,
we pretty much, just skated in the streets and, you know, just kind of, messed around and wasn't getting too technical.
Right.
You know? Until I moved over to Oahu, Hawaii, brah.
Yeah, brah.
And so me and my brother would go skate this ditch in Hawaii called the Aikahi Gutters.
Yep.
And we saw that little ditch, and it was so smooth and buttery, and everything was so perfect. And you could just carve that thing, and it was so fun. We'd go there almost every day after school, you know. If we weren't getting barreled after school, we were at the Aikahi Gutters for sure.
Right, just I got a silly question for you. Do you know who the Jax teams are?
The Jax team?
Yeah.
Not too familiar with that. What is it?
They're like a bunch of skateboarders from California that are like kind of like a, you know, a group of dudes, but they're like, you've got to seriously be a psycho insane person to become a Jax team's member. Like, I'm not on the Jax team, you know.
All right. Hi, Avery.
I know, my son is driving me nuts all of a sudden. Sorry about that. It's just funny. Anybody that's from the Jax team, right?
Yeah.
They're freaking rough and tumbler, crazy freaking dudes. I just thought maybe you might know a couple of them. I know a few of them. You know what I mean? One time I'm in San Francisco and I'm on my first date with this girl, right? And I made the mistake of taking her to a Jack's Teams party. And they have a keg in the bathroom, right?
Oh, man. In the bathtub.
And she's, yup. And she goes, well, go get us a couple drinks. And I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll go get us a couple beers. And I go in the bathroom. And there's like, and like, I kind of like lived with a Jack's Teams member. This guy, Nick. And so I knew him, kind of. But, like, I go in there, and they all start looking at me, and they're all, you know, we know who you are. I know who you are. And they're like, oh, you want some beer? Here, hold on. Let's just get you a pitcher. And they just filled up a pitcher and dumped it on my head, bro.
What?
Yeah. But then I took my date, you know, because I was soaking wet. I took my date, and I left later that night. Someone got stabbed in the gut for trying to get beer from them.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, so I'm like, all I got was a beer on my head. I didn't get stabbed.
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys are nuts, bro. They're psycho dudes.
Whoa, well, that's an experience you'll never forget.
Like, you totally reminded me of something right now, yeah? So the reason why you didn't really get to go skate when you were little is because your boy laid, your brother's, not your boy, your brother laid down on his board and ate crap.
Yep. I know. And I was the youngest. So, you know, dude, they set the standard for, you know,
you're gonna,
what
you're
we could do.
You're going to crap up. You're going to crack up over this one, dude. Like, the guy that I lived with from the Knicks team.
Yeah.
He had this videotape that we would watch, you know, like he showed it to me a couple times. I was like, whoa, let me see that again. You know what I mean? But his friend was trying to break the Land Luge world record on a skateboard, right?
Dang.
And my friend Nick is filming it, and he's at the bottom of the hill, and all of a sudden, he sees two dudes eating a sandwich in an ambulance. Like, they're both eating their lunch, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, because Nick's standing there with a camera, and they're like this, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, my friend here is about to try to break the Land Luge like world record right now.
And where was like, this at?
What?
Like in the city or something?
Oh, yeah. Real steep, steep hill in San Fran. But
yeah,
like,
that'd
instead
be the place
of,
to do it. World record right there.
Like, it sounds weird because I lived there for, you know, over 15 years. You could have picked a straighter, better hill. This one had a real steep, and then you have to do a, like a elbow, like a big turn. And then it,
yeah, like a dog leg.
Dog legged it, and then it just drops back in super steep. And, dude. You have to see this video, but this guy's coming down on a skateboard with his feet first and his head backwards, right? And he freaking comes around that dog leg, and he's not in the, like, he's heading towards the parked cars, and he hits a station wagon, and it jettisons the station wagon, like, 2 feet in front of it. To where the car hits another car, and his freaking leg came off, bro.
And the snapped it like a twig.
But the ambulance is right there. They just went like this, put their sandwiches down.
Yeah,
we got a 911. Like, you know, whatever they call it when someone is skateboarding down a hill and takes their leg off. I'm like, what? But it's like. The craziest part is my friend Nick has it on video.
Oh, wow. I'd like to see that footage someday.
Dude, it's freaking, like, so wrong in so many ways.
Like, yeah, that's extreme, bro. Like, you're trying to break the world record for speed on a skateboard. That's pretty gnarly, bro.
But not, you can't be standing up. You have, you know.
You're loose.
You like, gotta lose it. Like your brother did, dude. That's why I thought about that story. I'm like, oh shit, I know a gnarly story about someone landlushing. All right. Just because we're getting on that note, I'm like this. One of the craziest things you've ever done.
What's the craziest thing I've ever done?
One of them. I'm sure you've done more than one, but what's one of the craziest things you've ever done?
You mean just ever or on a skateboard?
No, ever. Ever.
Shoot, bro. I don't know. We're on a podcast. I can't be unleashing that sort of...
You're all... I took my...
I survived it. I don't want to die.
I took my brother's cookie once. He had a cookie.
What?
I'm kidding, dude. My brother had a cookie, and I took it. I ate it.
Right.
That's not the craziest thing I've ever done in my life. All right, let's put it this way.
I wouldn't say, like, craziest thing, because it's not really crazy, but jumping out of a plane is just one of those experiences where you just completely let loose, you know what I mean? It's hard to even explain unless you've done it and you felt it, but it's pretty crazy. The craziest part's just the plane ride up, you know? You're just, because you don't know what to expect.
So did you tandem?
I did tandem. I had a dude on my back, unfortunately.
No,
like
that's
dudes.
Everybody's
like
first time,
me,
I think,
but...
you kind of have to do that, you know? Like, I don't care if you're tandem or not. The squirrel suit, you know, when you, like, start flying.
Yeah.
Like Batman. Yeah. That's the craziest, coolest thing ever. Like, if you know, guys jump off cliffs and they don't even have a parachute on.
Yeah, exactly.
And one
it's a whole new level.
One dude's really good friend, he died doing it off this rock.
Oh, shoot. He had a squirrel suit, though?
Yeah, but his buddy jumped first, but then his buddy died. And it took him a long time, but then he went back and did it again. It's on YouTube or something like that. But, yeah, those guys are crazy, but...
Yeah, they are.
I know, I've never done it myself. Never done it. But I've just seen...
I think people just have... They really just have a fear of, like, heights. Like, I'm kind of afraid of heights, too. Like, I've been up in a boom about 90 feet in the air. And that's, you know, that's like, oh, okay. You can see people walking and you can see, like, different visuals.
Like,
But when you're up in a plane, you're up 13,500 feet, and, you know, it's just, it's awesome, bro. It's an awesome view, and take that leap of faith, and once you jump out, you're like, oh my God, this is what it's like to be an angel. You know what I mean? Like, you're literally flying.
Like, One of my good bros did it, right? And he was like, I mean, I used to have a boss that used to do it every weekend. And he was like squirrel suit material guy. Like, you can't just start with the squirrel. You got to get certified in this thing.
Oh, yeah. You have to be certified to
certain
jump
amount
by
of
yourself.
Jumps,
even.
This, that, the other. But my one friend who just did it the one time and one time only, he's like, dude, that shit gripped my freaking balls, and I'm looking at his face, and he's like, looked at the like G-force kind of feeling, looking at his face, is like, well, that doesn't look very comfortable at all.
Right, I can see that.
I mean, was it when you did it? Was it like, holy shit, this hurts, or was it like, Oh, man, no, look at all that.
No, it wasn't at all. It was funny because the plane ride up, I had like four other girls in the plane because no other dudes wanted to go and
so
jump.
You and four girls.
That's my ex-wife went and...
I'm all, well,
like,
as far as I know, that's not the first time it's just you and four girls. You always have four girls. No, just
right.
Kidding.
But anyway, the guy that's on my back, he's like, "Hey, you want to flip out of the plane?" I'm all, "Hell yeah!" Right, all hyped up on the plane ride up.
Yeah.
Look, we look back, and everybody's eyeballs are just like wide open. They're super silent. Their palms are sweating. They're all nervous. And he's like, "Anyone else want to flip?" And they're just like, "Nope, nope, no, thank you." And so I got a rad vid of us full on. He grabs me and we just huck out of the plane, dude. And we do a full barrel flip.
You did a 360?
Yeah, just
in
full
the air.
On flip out.
Holy
and
shit.
Just we level out, dude. And it's just like, boom. It's just like, it doesn't even feel like once you pick up to 100 miles an hour,
yeah.
It doesn't even feel like you're falling anymore. You're just suspended. And it's just like, and I paid for a camera guy and we jump out and I'm like, "Where's my camera guy?" And then whoop, out of the blue, here comes my camera guy underneath us and is filming us. And I'll have to show you the video, dude. It's rad. Like, the camera guy comes in and grabs my hands and you just see, like, we twist his legs and we're just spinning, dude. So we're falling and spinning in my video. It was pretty sweet, bro. It was awesome. I definitely want to do it again. It's one of those rushes where you're like, "Yeah, I got to do that again."
Yeah, like, I've never done it. So if you're doing it again, me and you are doing it together.
Yeah, everybody has a different rush, you know what I mean? Jumping out of a plane, bombing a hill on your skateboard, you know, car racing, whatever, you know, just to get your adrenaline going. Like,
this, I was pretty much, I don't know, I was probably like 16 or 17 years old, yeah? And this way older guy in Coronado, Wade Waggle. Silly name, but it has his name, dude. Wade was like, he was an airborne ranger. But like, we got flyboys, aircraft carriers, and we trained SEAL team in Coronado.
Yeah.
But he was not, he was an airborne ranger, like different, wholly different type of military or what have you. But, my one friend knew that I was pretty burly, and he goes to Wade, he goes, "I know," because they were talking, and he's like, "Hey, I was going to tie a rope to the back of my Toyota truck down in Otay Mesa," which is like the property between Tijuana, Mexico, and IB.
Right, right.
Like, it's like, it's the, like, the border of Tijuana goes to Otay Mesa, but there's this big open chunk of land. And he's trying to talk my friend Evan into parasailing behind his Toyota truck. And he goes, "Nah, I don't want to do that, dude, but like, I know who will." And so then he calls me and I'm like, "Hell yeah, I'll do that." And so I get hooked up to a parachute and Wade takes off in the truck. And I'm running, and, like, I know him. Like, he's one of the Nato boys, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't working. Like, I wasn't catching air. But he didn't drag me or anything, you know what I mean? It was just like, "Nah, dude, no." You know? Like, no go. And so he pulled over, and then it was his parachute, bro. And he goes, "I know what to do." And we laid it out, and he cut, like, triangles in certain sections of the parachute.
Yeah.
And took the fabric off, and he goes, "Now it'll work." And I'm looking at my friend Evan, and I'm like, "Are you fucking sure, dude?" Like, I'm looking at Wade, like, well, fuck it. We're here. All right, let's give it another shot. I put back on the parachute, and fucking... he took off, dude, and I just went up into the air. Next thing you know, I'm like 60, 70, 80 feet in the air behind this dude's truck, and it was so fun.
Oh man, that's awesome that he knew what to do.
If you
weren't getting lift, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because
like he's experienced enough to, you know.
Yeah, he knew. I would have never known. I don't know how he even knew how to do that. I'm like, who cuts a parachute apart?
But like, I know. Freaking, and you're his test dummy.
This was only like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. I was in a.
Hopefully you were liquored up for this.
No, that was when I was a little kid, dude. No, we were just getting barreled. I was probably stoned. me and my friend, rest in peace, Christopher Peline, and my friend Marcos, we're going to Alaska to go salmon fishing, but we stopped in Seattle, and when we're in Seattle, I got on a parasailing trip, yeah? And, dude, these guys had a really long rope. Like, me and my friend Marcos tandemed it. We were like...
Is that your climber, buddy?
Yeah, and we were like 100... Okay. We were like over 100 feet behind this boat with this parachute in these, like, chair, like, seat things. Drinking whiskey and smoking weed, dude. And I had a camera with me, you know, my phone. And like, dude, you're so high above Seattle. It's so rad. And my friend Marcos is kind of like, dude, this rope is super old and super janky. And those two dudes that are running that boat are kind of dumbasses. And I'm like this, bro, the worst that can happen is the rope breaks. We have a parachute. Yeah, I'm all right. Do you know how to swim? Because we're, you know, above the water. I'm like, you know how to swim? It's like, come on, bro. What the hell could happen? It's not like you're getting dropped and the parachute's going to break.
Yeah, exactly.
So, are you quarantining? What's your scoop?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much staying away from all you fuckers. That's for sure.
I don't want to touch your disc.
Right.
This one girl I texted her, stay 6 feet away from my body, but you can snuggle my heart. What a dork.
Yeah, pretty much doing what everybody else is doing right about now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I got a bit I want to do with you, but I also want to, what are your feelings on this whole everyone stay at home, and is it like kind of like around the world, you know?
Yeah, the pandemic's worldwide, so it's,
Sweden's letting people out.
I think people are making way too big of a situation with, you know, the whole thing going on and everyone taking all the toilet paper and like hoarding all this stuff, you know,
right?
When we should all just be like getting through it together and like working together to make this easier. Not like you can't even go to the store and get, you know, just whatever, you know. What if you need medication and all that stuff? And you know, my brother was sick, so I went to the store for him last week, and half the shit was gone. And I'm just like, dude, like, people are just hoard everything, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
that's the only downfall. I mean, it is what it is with the quarantine. Until the numbers go down, people need to stay the fuck at home. Like, just do that. Just do it for a month. Help out the cause. Bring the numbers down, lower the curve, and then we can all, you know, maybe get back to somewhat normal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But it's like, you know how it's kind of it kind of gets into your lungs and that kind of thing? I'm like this.
Yeah, it starts in your throat.
I'm like this. If someone had the coronavirus and they coughed on their disc, and they threw it into the basket, and then 5 minutes later, I throw my disc into the basket and grab my disc and then put my finger in my eye or my nose or something.
It's a very low case that you could, but
you think I could get it.
If everybody just kind of does do their part, then we're being more, you know, we're just being more responsible about, you know, the situation, because we don't really know. It could spike back up and get out of hand, bro. So if we treat this like it's worse than it really is, then we're better off, you know?
It's kind of the better safe than sorry. But, like, I'm kind of a rule breaker. I'm kind of like, well, I don't think there's that many people playing at Rose Parks right now. I think I could just bring some hand sanitizer. I throw my discs, get a bunch of aces, spray them down, grab my disc. Or maybe you could even, like, wear gloves and play. And then when you get home, just wash, or if they're plastic, throw away the gloves.
Yeah, like you were saying, your best bet is to go out by your house, because you're accessible to a big chunk of land behind your house, you know?
Yeah, I did
that.
So
you know you're
fun.
Safe back there, so that would, I don't know, that would be my alternative, because I don't want to go out to Rosa Park right now. I mean,
there's homeless
homeless, it was kind of bad before, and then now that nobody's going out there now, they're probably... I bet those numbers have gone up big time.
Yeah, they're invading our territory, and that's kind of one of the reasons I wanted to... I don't know. I don't know what to do right now. It's just so crazy, because I'm like you said, better safe than sorry.
And yeah.
No one wants to die, so I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to try and commit suicide over this fucking shit.
Yeah, exactly. So...
All right. I got a tough one for you. Ready?
Yep.
It's a super old bit. Fuck, we're playing it, dude. F, marry, kill. First one for you. Oprah, Caitlyn Jenner, and Britney Spears.
Oh, boy.
That one's too easy, man. You got this. Wrap this up. Hey. You there?
Yeah, I'm here, bro.
All right. Oprah, Caitlyn Jenner, Britney Spears.
What about them?
F, marry, kill. You've never played this?
No. Uh-uh.
You got to fuck one of them. You got to marry one of them. You got to kill one of them. Yeah, I knew you would be like, oh, no. And I'm like, yeah.
I hate these, bro. I'm so, like, anti, like, all into the media type stuff.
That's what I know. That's why I think it's so funny. But I'm like, all right, just super quick. Oprah, Caitlyn Jenner, Britney Spears. It's a joke, dude. It's a freaking joke.
Well, if it had to be, it'd be Britney Spears. You know what I'd do to her.
You're going to F her.
It's a no-brainer.
You're going to F her.
Yep. And I'd probably marry Oprah, because she has all the money.
And then Caitlyn just gets a bullet to the head.
And then, sorry, Caitlyn, Bruce, whatever your name is.
That's too easy, dude. That's way too easy. Okay, you got to do one more. Okay, ready? Hillary Clinton, Sandra Bullock, Morgan Fairchild.
Oh, man. Okay, I'm done. let's flip the script. Stu, who would be your pick for those three?
No. You got to give me three to play the game. I can't come up with the names. You come up with three people, then I'll tell you what I'd do.
Three people. Okay. I think I can come up with a good one.
Yep.
All right. Are you ready?
Scooby Snacks.
Tiger King.
That's not a girl.
Carol.
You gotta name three people.
And your left hand. That's three people.
I'm just gonna shoot my left hand like I would in the foot. Don't shoot yourself in the foot! And then I'm like, fuck Tiger King. Fuck that show.
No. You loved it. You know you loved it, Stu.
I was like, you actually get to go to work, huh?
Been working every day, brother.
Yeah, you're not stuck home with everybody, like, sitting around going fucking nuts. It's like...
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just like, I wish someone would give me a great movie, like, oh, have you seen this? And I'd be like, no. What's it about? I'm like, God damn, I need some new...
You don't have Netflix?
Netflix, Hulu, Cricket. Frick, I got loads of it.
Yeah, there's something in there for you.
There's something. No, that's not what I was asking. Well, what's, like, let's just say, what's your... Five favorite movies. Yeah.
I like a vast variety of movies. I don't know. I'm more inclined to comedies.
Okay.
I don't know. I like Jim Carrey.
Name the movies.
Dumb and Dumber's.
That's
pretty
great.
Good.
Oh, Dumb and Dumber's funny as hell, dude. Right when I think you are just fucking like pretty much the stupid, you turn it all around and he sold the dog car for that little moped scooter.
Right.
Oh my God, that's like the funniest part of that movie, dude.
Yeah.
So
super
funny.
Yeah, he traded the shaggin' wagon
for a little $50 scooter.
For a little mini bike.
It's like, and the way the two of them are talking in that scene, dude, it's just so funny. What's his name? Daniels?
Jeff Daniels.
Yeah, Jeff and freaking Carrie, dude. That is hilarious. Dumb and Dumber.
Right.
Okay, that's one.
Visuals are like Avatar. I just kind of like that style. That kind of style movie.
That was a really, really great movie.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, that's two.
Just like I said, comedies, stand up comedy is cool. I'm not a full on movie person. I'm not like into every kind of movie possible. Like I'm more outdoorsy type person, like going and discing. Like that's my jam. Movies really are just like, whatever.
Like, did you ever see The Matrix?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
You can't say of course. I know people who haven't seen it. You liked it?
Yeah, that's a dope movie.
Better believe it. There's one of my favorites. I'm like, The Matrix. That's a movie that just blew me away when it came out. Like, I don't know how they pulled it off, but the time period of what was going on, perfect timing, man. Just they knew.
Yeah, it kind of is.
It's like,
we,
if I was,
kind of feel like we're heading in that direction.
I mean, if I was younger, right? But it's like, I think of the things that when it comes to movies, I'm like Star Wars, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, those are all good.
I mean? Like,
Star Wars is good. 4, 5, and 6 are good. I don't really like the newer ones.
I just, I grew up on that kind of stuff, and it's just even weird. Like, I've re-looked at it as an adult, but I liked it a lot more when I was a kid.
Yeah,
I saw
for sure.
I saw it in the big theater when I was a little kid, but I'm like, Where's the one where the guy makes the tower out of the mashed potatoes?
Spaceballs.
Spaceballs.
Right? With John Candy?
No. That's a comedy. It's a...
Yeah.
It's about aliens. It's from the 70s. Ah, darn.
You got me, buddy.
Oh, well. I'll remember it in a second. It's no big deal.
Dude, I just want to go disc.
Sha.
Throw some discs, man. That's one thing that does affect me. With the coronavirus shit going on.
You should come to my backyard.
We can't just go out to a course and go play. You know, it's like, it's been taken away from us. You know, yeah, we can walk somewhere in our neighborhood and go ride bikes or whatever, but we can't go play disc golf. And you know that's where we'd be right now, firing up a fat bolio.
What's of the third kind?
Is that Star Trek?
No. It's the movie where the guy builds mashed potatoes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Aliens of the third kind. I was having such a brain fart. It's so ridiculous. Feels so stupid right now. Anyhoozle. I'm all, dude, you seen those pictures I sent you of my backyard?
Yeah.
Dude, it's way longer than a football field. And
that's a perfect spot for you to make a couple different tee pads. Set that basket I gave you down there. Make a few, you know.
Dude, you don't understand. I love my birthday present. I just had my birthday on April Fool's Day. And you gave me the coolest birthday present. I didn't get any other presents. I got some money from my pop, like $50. Right? But you're the only one who actually gave me a present, and I'm like, hey, thank you so much, man. That was freaking awesome.
Hawaii 50.
Dude, I Hello. Got that.
It only happens
basket,
once,
man.
My brother.
Yep, got to turn 50 one time in your life. But now,
that's right.
Now when I play the tournaments, right? 50 and over.
It's called, your division is now called Grandmasters.
Yeah, dude. And Dom thinks I won't be able to handle that. And I'm like, I think I can.
I think no matter what division you're in, you're going to do fine, bro.
I'll set my mind to it.
You know what I mean? Like, my first tournament was just at Winter Wizards a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And, like... I didn't want to just enter in rec or enter in, you know, like intermediate or whatever. I wanted to shoot for the guys that, you know, are about at my level, if not better, which they are. The AM 40, I'm from 40 to 50.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of good discers in my division, and I like that, you know, kind of keeps the competition, you know.
Yeah.
The level higher. And like when I play with, you know, the UFO guys, you know, the top guys, it's like I shoot better. I just you get better when you play with guys at a pro level, you know.
Of course. Well, I'm like this. Of all Santa Rosa, I call it the UFOs. Tell people that are not from around here, what does UFO stand for?
It's our local disc golf club. It's United Flyers of Sonoma.
The United Flyers of Sonoma County.
Yeah, and it's just, it's really a good organization where you feel like they're family, you know, because when we all go out and play disc golf together, everybody's like, it's just a different kind of camaraderie, you know what I mean? Brings us all together. You know, we're all having fun out there, chucking our discs. And
all right, so this is going to be a tricky question for you, right? Who are the top three guys in the UFO? Who's the best?
Top,
Who's the best of the best?
Who are the best?
In
oh,
your
man.
Eyes. Who's the best?
There's so many, but one of our local pros out here, I'm pretty sure you and many other people know, James Proctor. Yeah. He's a pro disc golfer, and he's a math teacher, and he's sponsored by Innova Champion Discs. And so I'd say he's pretty much top of the food chain for UFOs. You know what I mean?
All right. So hold on. You brought up Innova. You've heard of the Innova Discs Blizzard Champion Crate, K-R-A-I-T?
Yes, I've heard of it.
It's the longest world record thrown ever. Disc.
Wow, I didn't know it was from the crate.
That's the one that's flied the farthest compared to anyone else in the whole world. So I'm like this. Sounds silly, but I'm like, who makes the best discs?
Well, most of my discs are Innova, because that's what was exposed when I started playing, because I've been playing for 10 years now. So, you know, you were kind of limited to a few companies, but I just like Innova a lot. I like their whole company, their design, the way their discs fly. Like, I've tried other brands, but I know what a Leopard's going to do. I know what a Firebird's going to do, you know, so I kind of get used to one company and kind of stick with it.
The old Archangel. Like, all right, so just because we're getting on disc topics, right? Second best
for UFOs?
Yeah, no, Innova. Then?
Oh, for disc companies?
Yup.
Dude, I've really been on a hype with disc craft, because my favorite disc golfer is Paul McBeth. I mean, the guy's just an absolute beast. And he's always the guy to beat, you know? So, he kind of sets the platform, you know?
Yeah.
So, he went over to disc craft, and I just kind of like, I've gotten a couple... you know, disc craft discs, and I'm really liking them. And, you know, of course, Paul, like, brings a lot to the table to a disc company. You know, he can basically make any kind of mold, you know, from putter, mid, fairway driver to distance driver, you know, they're going to be dialed.
Right.
So, been kind of throwing a few disc crafts in my bag. You know, of course, I love the Wizards. Shout out to Frank Villas. Yeah, he let me throw a Wizard one day, and I made like three putts, like outside the circle, 30, 40, and 60 feet, just boom, nothing but chains. And I was like, yep, I'm going to have one of these in my bag forever.
Hells yeah.
So the Wizards for putting, for sure. I like the Wizards. They're great discs.
The Winter Wizards.
You got to try one, Stewie. Do you have a Wizard in your bag?
I got three of them, bro. And I don't carry all the... Because I used to use the Wizard for the putter, right?
Yes, sir.
But, yeah, I got three of them. But, okay. So... How should we close this out today?
Close it out?
Yeah, how do you say goodbye to the people in this town? What's going on with the coronavirus, everything? Can't even hang out with our boys.
Everybody just needs to do their part and stay safe and protect yourself and your family members. You know, your friends. Check in on your friends, you know, daily. You know, maybe help somebody out that might need a hand or... You know, be in some sort of a downward spiral. So
you got to, hold on. Before we end the show, I'm like this. You gave me a Frisbee golf disc basket for my birthday. Didn't you just get a brand new basket?
I sure did.
What? What'd you get?
I decided to upgrade to the Innova disc catcher, and it doesn't have the band on the top.
I don't like the band on the top, to be totally honest, but I know some people do, but I don't think that, I don't like
there's
it.
There's just a certain feeling where you get a new basket and you deserve it, and you know, like, it's just something about a new basket, putting it together, you know, your first throw into the basket. It's just like, it's awesome feeling, bro.
Hell yeah, man.
So, got the official double chain. Ain't no spit outs in my basket.
Who makes your basket?
What's that?
Who makes it?
Who makes it? Innova?
You got an Innova new, brand new basket.
Disc catcher. Yes, sir.
Never been used. Oh, dude.
Straight out the box.
Hey, man.
Boy. Yeah, so, like our buddy Frank, you know, that we play with, he's like, dude, you got to putt 200 times a day if you want to get anywhere. So I've been doing about 200 putts a day on that thing. What else is there to do?
Frank works for Seismic Brewing Company in Sonoma County, right?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He's an awesome dude. He's a great disc golfer. You know, a lot to learn from that guy. He's got a big heart. You know, he's very creative. He's an artist, you know? He's an artist. And, like, he just has a good soul, and we need more people like him in our community.
Like, sure,
you know, to be inspired by and lead by example.
We got Dom, right?
Yeah. Oh, Dom too. Dom's done so much for our community, our disc golf community, you know, really stepping up and taking every action to get us a new course in Sonoma County. And it's, I try and help out as much as possible as I can, because they put in a lot of work too. So
yeah, everybody's,
I think
everybody's,
it's really
kicking
cool
back.
That Dom stepped up and really, like, took initiative, you know, for a new area for us. And it's perfect. Reza Park is perfect for any disc golfer, entry level, pro, you know, and everyone in between. It's a really good place, and you know that.
Heck yeah, man. Like,
it's just different. It's different, you know?
There's so many people that have put in work to build this course, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it got started by me, Dom, and Daryl. You know Daryl?
Yeah. Yeah. Dare Bear. Yeah.
Fucking dude, he kicked butt. He me and Dom were with machetes and shit, but he brought his riding mower, right? He started the whole thing, dude. He was really killing it. And then,
that's all it takes, dude. You know, it takes a couple of guys with a vision. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
man,
that was really cool of Dare Bear to do that, too.
Because, like,
to,
Darren
to
and,
get with Dom.
Of Daryl and fucking Frank, they know, you know, they know people around here.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Where it's like, I wasn't born and raised here, so I don't have as much roots as those guys. And they really made it happen. All I did was work.
It's in their blood, you know. There's a lot of people in the UFOs that have stepped up, and we'd have to do a whole nother show, you know what I mean, to thank all of them for stepping up and doing so much for our club and our disc golf courses, you know, locally.
It's just
Daryl will go out and mow, you know, Taylor or Crane or whatever. He's just like, when he has this mindset on it, he just goes and does it, you know?
Yeah.
It's so cool.
I'm looking at my UFO patch from 90.
Oh, I got one of those too. I'm still trying to figure out where I'm going to put it, bro. It's like gold. What am I going to do with this? Put it on a hat, a jacket? What am I going to do?
Do you know who made the patch?
Was that Dom?
No. Daryl's wife.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that's cool.
And so
they're awesome.
She sews, and so anything you want to have put on it, you know, it's going to cost you a couple bucks, but she'll put it on there and do it right.
Heck yeah.
Because you're allowed to, like, put a, what's that called? A hot iron, you know, like something you would.
Yeah, you can hot iron
your
it on.
Clothes with, but like you want to have it sewn on. But it's all about Stafford
sure.
Lake,
come on,
Taylor Mountain, Lake Sonoma, Crane Creek, and they didn't put it on there. Rosa Parks, dude.
The new one will be coming out soon, there, bro.
Yeah, we need the Rosa Parks. We built that. The one thing I'm afraid of is because no one's going out there right now. How many more homeless people are there, and what the hell are they doing to our baskets? But
right until we all come out there bonsai with all our weed eaters and just start cutting all the grass, dude, and watch them scramble.
It's like I figure we all go park at the school, walk across the street, and just stay 20 feet away from each other, and we get to still go throw.
Right?
I don't know.
It might come down to that, brother. It might come down to that.
Or me and you could just go in my backyard that's longer than a football field.
Go huck some discs.
That's right. Well, it was great talking to you, and I will talk to you soon, my friend.
Thanks for having me on, brother.
Yeah, brother. You have
keep banging them chains.
Keep having a great day.
You got it.
All right, man.
Thanks, Stuart.
Ciao. All right, you guys. Another Steve show. Just trying to bang some stuff out. You know. It's a little bit slow right now. Everybody's locked out at home. Not everybody. Joel gets to go to work. But I'm staying at home, taking care of my son. Trying to do the best I can do right now. But much love to everyone who else is quarantined at home. And just hope you got enough dank and bruise and maybe make a cocktail. Everyone's going for maybe a little harder right now, y'all. Stay away from the tequila, though, okay? God damn it.